couldn't help but wonder, if taxes are truly unavoidable, why do they always feel like a bad date we never agreed to? Welcome to Tax and the City. I'm Julia Tatje from Taxum, your personal tax boutique in Zurich. Here we talk taxes simply and honestly. Sometimes just you and me, sometimes with guests, always rooted in real life. And just like that, something mandatory becomes a little more delightful. So welcome back to Tax in the City and welcome, Darlene. I've got Darlene Hart from US Tax FS joining me today. Hi.
Good to meet you.
And today's episode is special because my guest is someone who genuinely loves what she does. She loves taxes just as much as I do.
That's sad. That is very sad.
No, it's not sad. We hate our own taxes.
Yeah, this is true.
But we love doing it for everybody else. She has decade US tax experience, and she's the CEO and owner of US Tax FS, a company with branches in several cities and even countries.
We're in London, Zurich, Geneva, Stockholm, and we're also looking at setting up in the UAE. So, yeah, I mean, we're talking.
She's very international.
Domination on US tax law. What can
yes.
I say?
Yes. Okay. We always do it like the big one. Yes. Darlene is not only here because she is a pro in US taxes, but also because she always calls me young lady and it makes me feel great. So this is why she's here. We are collaborating because Americans, sadly, as they feel at least, if you ask the IRS, not sadly, but for them, sadly, do have to file a tax return no matter where they live in the world.
That's correct.
Sadly, that's correct. Those Americans or green card holders that live in Switzerland also need a Swiss tax return. So that's when I come in, and that's and why we work together.
I love working with Julia because she actually understands, has a basic working knowledge of U.S. tax law, so it makes it much easier to coordinate. I know enough Swiss tax law to be dangerous. So we definitely need someone with Julia's expertise to help us and to help our clients.
Thanks.
So collaborating both, you know, with each other, it works very well for clients.
Yes. And vice versa, because dealing with a US tax expert somewhere in New Jersey that has never seen a Swiss tax return tends to be difficult because they have no idea what we're doing over here.
Well, a lot of the CPAs in the States are good, but they
don't have
knowledge of the foreign side of U.S. tax law.
Exactly.
And that comes with a specialty. And that's where we excel, really, is in the foreign side of the U.S. tax law, whether it's individual, corporate, partnership, trust, estate, whatever the issue is.
And that's basically what Taxum does as well. So we are also focusing on the international clients and international ties they might have. We do work together because for US clients, like being abroad comes with a few challenges.
Very true.
Maybe you can say something about that.
How about if we talk about this client we just had yesterday?
Yes.
This is a bit of a basket case.
It is a bit of a basket case.
Lives here in Switzerland, but does a lot of work in California.
Yes.
And he was using his US LLC in the United States to actually pay himself a salary from, but it was a self-employed. It was a look-through LLC, and he got it wrong, and his Swiss expert got it wrong.
Yes, so he hired someone in Switzerland that filed his return.
Swiss return.
Let's say it like it is, faulty. There were a lot of mistakes in there, and he apparently wasn't aware of the odds and ends of the bilateral agreements in terms of taxes and social security.
The totalization agreement, yeah.
Yes, because fancy enough, there's two different agreements. And what is true for taxes might not necessarily be true for social security.
That's true.
And this poor guy ended up with a very, very hefty bill from Swiss social security that had he invested a few francs into proper advice, he could probably have saved.
He could have saved an awful lot. Okay. The CPA in the States didn't understand what was going on and didn't understand didn't even raise the issue with regards to the totalization agreement and Social Security.
And so did the Swiss.
And the Swiss one didn't either. And neither one of them were The Swiss expert had no knowledge of U.S. tax law, and the U.S. expert in the States had no knowledge of the U.S.-Swiss treaties.
Yeah.
So it was a shambles, and now it's costing the guy a pretty penny.
Yes. So I really felt sorry for him. But
it is what it is.
We can help him going forward,
yes.
But we unfortunately couldn't really do anything here.
Listen,
yes,
this gentleman could have avoided a lot if he had his Swiss return done correctly first.
Yes.
And then his giving it to his U.S. CPA would have been able to determine what he should be filing and what he shouldn't be filing.
Yes.
Was he a green card holder?
He was a green card holder, yes.
Okay. Well, with regards to the client that we spoke about,
yes,
I would say that, first of all, if that individual would have gone and gotten good advice, paid for proper Swiss tax expert to help him do his Swiss return, and then given a copy of that Swiss return to his U.S. CPA, his U.S. CPA would have seen very clearly that he was paying Social Security here in Switzerland.
Yeah, because he told me that he never shared any Swiss return with his CPA.
That's so wrong. The gentleman was a green card holder.
Yeah.
Okay? And so therefore he's subject to U.S. tax worldwide. Okay.
Yeah.
And as long as he's got that green card and he's working in California, so he's subject to California state income tax and federal income tax on all of his income, but only California state as a non-resident on his work days there. So let's just say he screwed up all the way around.
Yes, he did. And so did his advisors, because they weren't aware and they didn't follow the advice.
They were not talking to one another. And I think that is
the
biggest issue. And this runs true for any Swiss individual moving into the United States or any American individual living abroad. You've got to have your advisors abroad talking to you, whoever is doing your U.S. returns.
Yeah.
Whether it's U.S. tax and financial or a local CPA in the United States. And to be honest with you, we do a lot of cleanup work. Work that's been done by
CPAs in
the United States, because they don't understand the foreign side of the U.S. tax law, and they don't know enough to actually look at a Swiss return. First of all, it's in German or French or Italian or whatever. It's not an English language. And they don't know enough about the law to understand what the elections they should be making on a U.S. return or could make, or the treaty claims that they could make to decrease the individual's overall tax liability.
Yeah.
So it's a mistake for anybody who is cross-border and subject to U.S. tax.
So what are the most common mistakes people make?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, this individual, he thought his entire salary was going to be subject to U.S. federal and California state. And I said, no, that's not true. I said, yes, at the federal level, but definitely not at the California level. I said, so your U.S. CPA should request a refund of the Social Security tax that they paid to the U.S. government, and that should only pay California state non-resident tax on only a portion of his salary, not his entire salary.
Yeah.
They just screwed up from, 50 ways to Sunday. What can I say?
Yeah. So luckily most people don't hit all the spots and they don't tick all the wrong boxes, but there are things that we see a lot that Americans here in Switzerland perceive wrongly, or green card holders. So can you tell a few things that misconceptions?
Major misconceptions are, sometimes Americans believe that if they leave the country, they're no longer subject to U.S. tax. It's not something you learn in grade school or high school or even in college, unless you're taking tax courses or accounting courses.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily widely known. Your advisors should know this.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you a story. I had this client who worked on the oil rigs in the North Sea. Okay. So he's up in Aberdeen, up in Scotland, and his accountant or his lawyer, who was a U.S. tax lawyer in the United States, wrote him tax lawyer, get this, Atlanta, Georgia, put in writing, black and white, I'm sorry, you're not in the United States. You don't have to file U.S. returns anymore.
Mm.
I thought, oh my God.
Did you send this guy a present? Here's the law.
No, I actually called the lawyer and I said, excuse me, I think you need to go back to law school. this is, you Americans are subject to tax worldwide. And here's the code section. Here's the regs. And I says, you need to bring yourself up to date.
Yeah.
But oil worker found out in Aberdeen, one of his workers that he was working with told him and says, no, you're subject to U.S. tax.
Okay.
So,
so bottom line, if you have a U.S. passport or a green card, no matter where you go on this planet, maybe if you go to the moon, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, true. No, yeah, of course. It doesn't matter where you are.
Okay. So even if you go to the moon, you still have to file with the U.S.
That's right. Really,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I know. Another story for you. And this is a crazy story, but I would love to get it out there. I have a Italian lady who built up a very successful business here, and she's got businesses in 7 different countries here in Europe. And then she decided to go and expand and go into the United States. And so she went to New York. And she decided she was going to do business in New York instead of a business in New York. And I said, okay, that's fantastic. And this is what you need to do, et cetera, et cetera. And put her in touch with an accounting firm and all the rest of the stuff. But when it came down to doing her U.S. tax return, she had all of these companies abroad, which were controlled foreign corporations because she was a majority shareholder. She was not subject, well, she was subject to the U.S. GILTI tax at the corporate level, at the federal level. And she was able to get a deduction, certain federal deductions to minimize this very exposure to this GILTI tax. But New York State doesn't allow the same deductions, does not allow the same deductions. So she ended up with a huge tax bill to New York State when she didn't have to.
So similar to Switzerland, we've got 26 cantons and you've got
50 states.
So
but each state has different laws.
Yes.
And so you have to, for any foreign national who's going into the United States, you really do have to get advice prior to going into the United States.
Yes.
So that's a big issue. Okay.
And like what we also see a lot is people living here in Switzerland, then going back to the US for retirement and having the fun idea of withdrawing their Pillar 2 or Pillar 3 money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they have Pillar 3, potentially it was a bad idea for them being Americans anyway. But let's assume they have it and now they want to withdraw it. And they do that while sitting in Texas, New York or L.A.
They could have a problem.
The IRS would say thanks.
Yeah. But the state will as well.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. You have to understand the treaty. And when it comes to pensions, that's a whole ball of wax. You know, that is a complex area. We've got many stories to tell, but like you, with the Americans moving back to the States, we've got the Swiss who lived and worked in the United States. And they have these huge 401ks, and then they roll it over to an IRA, and then they come back. They say, yes, I want to retire back in Switzerland. And they decide they want to take that money out. And I'm there, oh, my God, under the treaty, it's going to be subject to tax in Switzerland.
Yes.
I says, but you're still going to have to file U.S. returns and make a treaty claim every time you take money out of that. And you don't want to take it all out at once. Let it grow tax-free. It grows tax-free in both countries, both the U.S. and Switzerland. So don't take it out of your U.S. IRA. So the big issue then for them is, okay, I don't live in dollars anymore.
Yeah.
In the United States.
I prefer Swiss francs.
Prefer Swiss francs. There are brokers, you know, and they will manage your money, your IRA, which cannot leave the borders of the United States, but they will manage it in Swiss francs or euros or whatever investment portfolio you would like. So it's interesting. You've got to hunt and find those people. But both Julia and I are very familiar. We know a lot of these investment managers.
Yes. So bottom line, we can say most of the time there's a solution, but it's better to inform yourself before and act later, not the other way around, because we might just end up cleaning up a mess and it might come with a bill.
Yeah.
Not our bill, but... Yeah. As well, but a bill from Social Security or taxes, mm-hmm. Swiss ones or US ones, mm-hmm. that you could have avoided.
It could be a problem.
Yes, it could be a problem. I think there's tons of stories to tell. What I see a lot is, there is the Pillar 3 mm-hmm. in Switzerland and everybody's keen on saving taxes. And there's also Americans that heard from their co-workers, neighbors, Swiss friends, do this Pillar 3A, it's going to save taxes.
Exactly. And putting money for an American living in Switzerland, putting money into a Pillar 3, well, first of all, mandatory pension contributions, employer and employee for Pillar 2. But when you come to Pillar 3, that's voluntary.
Yeah, it's voluntary.
And so it's up to you. And yes, you can decrease your Swiss tax. But at the end of the day, you decrease your Swiss tax, it means you've got no foreign tax credit to offset your U.S. tax. So you have, now there is a breaking point, you know, if you put money into an IRA and you put money, a bit of money into a Swiss Pillar 3, then have your accountant, whoever's doing your U.S. returns, they're all done on computer and they're all done on computer programs. So we can all run analysis and say, okay, what happens if I put 15 grand into my IRA and I put 15 grand into a
Pillar 3
pension.
Yeah.
Does that decrease my overall Swiss and decrease my overall US? And I said,
so there might be a way to actually save taxes, but by just paying into a Pillar 3A, most US people will end up with zero or with like a net zero.
Exactly. It's not deductible in the United States, okay, because it's a Swiss pension. It's a foreign pension.
Yes.
So you're not going to get that kind of a deduction. So it's interesting. Those are one of the big things. Well, I think one of the big things that we see a lot are you have Americans married to non-Americans.
Okay? Yes.
So let's say we have an American woman married to a Swiss gentleman, okay? And of course, income that the Swiss gentleman earns is going to be subject to U.S. income tax, only what the wife earns. Now, if she's not working, she doesn't necessarily have to file a return. But when you start looking at what the husband has made and what he's earning and where he's put that money into a brokerage account, into a bank account, where is the investments? And does she have an ownership interest? If she has no ownership interest, no problem. She doesn't even have to file an FBAR. But a lot of people misunderstand that if the husband gives his wife a credit card on his Swiss bank account, okay, she has a financial interest in that account. And so therefore, she has to file an FBAR, report a foreign bank account. So it's
like U.S. tax law is really interesting. And like it's, to us Swiss, it sounds like crazy ideas.
Yeah, I know.
We are not asking who does the credit card belong to. Is it the husband or the wife? Or the nationalities also don't matter for Swiss taxes.
Exactly.
But they do for US taxes.
Yes, they do.
And yes, because with this passport or the green card, you can't get away from that. So it's important to look at both sides and not optimize on Swiss taxes blindly.
Yeah.
I would never advise a US person the same way I do for any other nationality.
That's very true.
Those
are totally different.
Yeah.
But so I would say those are the pension issues and the FBAR, the report of foreign bank accounts, who needs to file and who doesn't, and are daily.
Yeah.
Daily issues comes up with many, many, many people.
And it's so human because most of our clients are not like on doing anything wrong on purpose.
Yeah.
They are trying their best not to make a mess, but sometimes it ends in the other way.
There's one other thing that I'd really like to bring up because I don't know who your audience is, but when you have foreign nationals, Swiss, anybody who is not an American, who is investing in the stock market, and you're talking about wealthy people would have 20, 30, 40% of their entire portfolio, investment portfolio, invested in the U.S. stock market.
Yes.
At least 20, 30%. Big. Those individuals are subject to U.S. income, estate tax when they die. Okay?
Yes.
Because they own those shares in their own name. Okay? And after all the problems that the Swiss banks went through under the deferred prosecution agreement a few years ago, must be 10 years ago now.
Approximately, potentially, yeah.
Like that. The banks are very wary about when someone dies, taking a U.S. A client with a U.S. portfolio and saying, okay, here's the distribution to the heirs. They say, no, can't distribute until such time as we get a letter from the IRS that says that you have an estate tax return that is due and should be filed.
Yes.
Because of your ownership interest in a U.S. portfolio.
Yes.
That stuff can be avoided.
Yes.
It's very easy to avoid that. Those U.S. portfolios should be owned or owned by a foreign court, Swiss court. I don't care what for it.
Yes, and you mentioned it. I mean, this affects people that maybe never ever set a single foot on U.S. ground, and they have no idea. And the thing is, if I see something like this in a Swiss tax return, I will point it out to the client and tell them, listen, there might be an issue.
Yeah.
But if your Swiss tax advisor isn't aware of that, he will not point it out. And then there might be a nice surprise later.
It is very true. But it's not just the Swiss. Now, there is an estate tax treaty. The U.S. only has estate tax treaties with 13 different countries. And there is an estate tax treaty between the United States and Switzerland. And we had this one gentleman, one client who passed away, who passed $600 million to his daughter. Okay. And his daughter, American citizen.
Yeah.
So she's quite wealthy now. That was not the major issue. The major issue was he had a huge amount invested in the United States, all in his own name.
Yeah.
So we had to do an estate tax return, a U.S. estate tax return, and he paid under the U.S. Swiss estate tax treaty, he only ended up paying $1 million or $2 million. Which wasn't bad compared to the $40 million that he had invested in the United States.
Yeah.
So, but still, he could have avoided it if he had put a rep or done some estate planning, proper estate planning.
Yes. So, like, it's not only about the yearly tax return, but it is also about estate planning and investment planning. And we could potentially talk about it for like 3 or 4 hours in a row. So you need to come back. For me, like the benefit of working with you is that I can offer a full service. I'm not a big four with hundreds of employees and Swiss and US tax experts. And you don't have Swiss tax experts in your company. No. But we can both offer a full service to our clients by cooperating. And I really love that because we actually speak with each other. We exchange the information from the client. And
I don't know, I'm sure you probably have seen it in a lot of your clients and stuff, or possibly you have, but a lot of times, because we always, bar none, every single one of our clients who live here in Switzerland, we get a copy of the Swiss return.
Yeah.
If they live in Germany, we get a copy of the German return. Same thing in England, France, whatever, it doesn't care. I don't care where they live. We get a copy of the return. And we also make sure we talk personally to whoever is preparing that return, you know, and go over the issues, because there's so many issues when you're in the United
States. We are blessed. Yeah.
Oh, I know. You guys are major blessed. But that discussion back and forth is paramount. The gentleman that we spoke to earlier in our podcast here, if he would have just had those two people talking together, they would have both found out the problems and the issues.
Yes.
But because they weren't stupid people. You know?
No.
And they knew the person who did the Swiss return knew was a good Swiss expert, but just didn't know or deal with the treaty, the Social Security totalization agreement between the two countries.
Yeah.
So it's all about communication. And I think it's important.
Yes.
So.
And yeah. And what we both offer is a little fun along the way. Taxes are sad enough, especially if you're subject to Swiss and US taxes.
It's like a chess game. I love it. You know, the complexity.
Yes.
It really is interesting when you start, you know, messing around with different legislation and you've got assets and businesses in multiple locations and you've got to deal with multiple jurisdictions. I mean, I know you do the same. You know, you're not just dealing with American expatriates living here in Switzerland. Switzerland is full of foreign nationals.
Yes.
And you're doing a darn good job.
You know, thank you.
Working with them. So it's good.
And I really love that we could take off like this mental burden of people, because a lot of people are afraid of the IRS for a reason.
This is true.
Also don't want to mess with the Swiss tax authorities.
You know, but at least the Swiss tax authorities, there's a warm body at the end of the phone.
Actually, yes, there's humans working there.
There are humans working for the Swiss tax authorities.
Yes.
Whereas in the States, you have a huge computer in the sky who spits out all of these computer-generated letters, and then you sit hours on the phone trying to get a warm body at the other end of the phone. Most of the time, you can't.
Yeah.
And your letters go unanswered, or they will be answered, and said, excuse me, but we have not had time you know, their letters from the IRS will say that the computer generated letters saying, but we do not have time to talk to you right now. Please give us another 60 days, you know, 90 days.
No, that's really different here.
And that's, you know, that's not true here in Switzerland. Yes. So, but you do need somebody to deal with that. Now, I've got another client who is two Americans, believe it or not. And one is trying to obtain his Swiss citizenship.
Yes.
Okay? And they're getting a divorce. And so they have assets in three different countries. Trying to deal with divorce laws and the laws of why he's claiming tax residence in Switzerland when he's actually spending more time in the United States beyond me, you know, and it's the client, the divorce lawyer said, excuse me, darling, why is this? What's happening? Why are they doing this? And I said, yeah, no, I don't know. You need to get somebody from Lugano, the tax authorities, you know, who is familiar with the tax authorities in Lugano, who can actually talk to them to find out what's going on, why he's ending up paying $2-3 million worth of Swiss tax, you know? And I thought, oh, Lord almighty, you know, where's Julia? I need Julia.
So unfortunately, I'm not doing Lugano. Because my Italian is very limited to the menu.
Such is life.
Yeah, such is life. But when it comes to the German-speaking cantons, I'm happy to help and to step in.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, Darlene, thank you so much for joining me. I think we could honestly go on for hours.
Yes.
And I already want to invite you again. Because,
thank you.
Yeah, because there's... I want you to call me young lady on my like being recorded again. No, I'm just kidding. It's really very, very valuable for my clients and your clients. And I think we should tell a few other stories.
I think, you know what I'd love to do? I mean, because there are so many problems with on the pension side, you know, that It affects all of the clients here. It affects your clients going into the U.S. and it affects the Americans coming here. And an understanding the complexities of the whole pension issue, I really think that would be. And then estate. Oh, my God, the estate side.
Yeah. You know,
so you've got plenty.
Yes, there's plenty of topics. And there's going to be plenty more episodes of Tax in the City. So thanks for joining me, and we can close it like Carrie does, just like that. All the contact details you could possibly need are waiting for you in the show notes. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next time on Tax in the City.